Meeting of the
House Committee on Healthcare and open a work session on SB 82. I do need to apologize to you, particularly you that have come from Grants Pass, to
be with us today,
that we don't have a quorum and we won't be passing the bill. But the fact is, the people who are here are the people who are most interested in hearing this testimony. And this will be very useful and we'll move the bill. We'll move the bill next week at this time. So can I call? Who are we?
David Plunkett.
And?
And Dr.
David Plunkett
Walters.
And?
Scott
Walters. Dr. Scott
Walters. Dr. Scott Walters. Please join us. And thank you very much for coming such a long way. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We had a series of questions. I had a series of questions. I think I was probably the one who was the most intrigued with this. But would you like to make an opening statement?
I'd be glad to answer any and all questions that the committee has. Let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Scott Walters from Grants Pass, Oregon. I am also the current president of the Oregon Board of Optometry and have been in that position since October of 2006. I'm in my second term as an OBO member and in private practice with five other optometric physicians for the last 18-plus years. A little background on who I am. And again, any questions that you would have regarding Senate Bill 82, I would be glad to try to answer for you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
For those of us who did not hear this in the policy committee, it might be very helpful to have an overview.
Okay.
I used us in the plural, but it may just be me.
I believe Representative Broom is the carrier, but he's not.
Yeah. We happened to have a meeting at the Coast that took away our Republican colleagues, and our other Democratic colleague is sick at the moment. But let's please do that. Sandy, would you?
Yes, Mr. Chair, no problem. And if you wish.
Would you give a brief overview, and then perhaps we could hear the perspective of the board as to where this came from? Hmm?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 82 was heard in the Subcommittee on Health Policy on February 22nd. At that time, it was worked from the sub to the full. This bill requires a valid, unexpired prescription before any ophthalmic contact lenses can be dispensed or sold. This bill also defines ophthalmic contact lenses to include lenses with or without refractive power. And to paraphrase that, this bill is addressing and we received pictures of, and you've probably seen them, contact lenses in movies and teens wear that have designs on them or color, you know, non-original eyeball color that are now being sold in multiple places. Multiple places being flea markets, hair salons, tanning salons, every place, a lot of places other than an authorized optician type of a retailer. We heard from Mr. Plunkett, the executive director of the board, and we heard from Wayne Schumacher on the bill. There are no amendments. It did leave the Senate floor with 27 ayes and no and one nay vote with two excused. And as Chair Greenlich said, we did entertain of Mr. Plunkett several questions, and we requested that they return with a board member to help us understand a little bit more of the bill, since this bill is also crafted in such a way to align with FDA federal regulations on this prescriptiveness of the contact lenses. So that is what we're here for today.
I also didn't quite realize I was asking somebody to drive up from Grants Pass.
It's okay.
I very much appreciate that you're here. And basically, Representative Cannon, the discussion came around a set of questions about the specific language of the statute, which talks about requiring a valid prescription for this to happen. What is a valid prescription, and what does it mean, and what does it mean to get a valid prescription? and a bunch of questions around the technical side that really apparently weren't asked in the Senate, and at least it raised my curiosity. Can we buy these at a flea market, do you think? That's a nice color.
If I may respond, Representative Greenlee, those that are being passed around, there's the one.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry, David Plunkett, Executive Director of the Board of Optometry. The ones in the bubble pack are sample lenses, and those might be like Dr. Walters would use in fitting a patient with these type of lenses. They're trials, and they clearly state on there that they're demos. The other ones in the vial are contact lenses that we bought in Portland, and as you can see, if you look very closely on the bottom, you can see stamped on there that it says caution, federal law requires prohibits dispensing without a prescription, but they're very readily sold, and that's the issue that we're getting to. And just maybe if I might, a little
please.
More background, and I probably didn't do a good enough job of explaining this to start with, but contact lenses in this country are regulated by the FDA, Federal Drug, Food and Drug Administration. And there was a regulation that was passed, and it was called Fairness to Contact Lens Consumers Act, and that was done in January 7th of 2003. That put a lot of parameters on contact lens, how they could be sold, what a prescription was, what had to be contained in the prescription, requirements on the selling of those, and what kind of records had to be kept. And so that was a federal law that was passed, and that governs contact lenses in this country. Well, it just so happened that they decided, for one reason or another, and I'm not sure what was behind the issue, but that they would... okay, I'll back up again. They classify contact lenses as medical devices. And therefore, since it's a medical device, it has to have a valid prescription by an optometric physician or an ophthalmologist in order to sell or dispense them. And at one point, they decided that the cosmetic lenses, which are fairly new on the market, did not need to be classified as a medical device anymore, and that they would classify it as a cosmetic. And I think at this point, when that was done, and this goes back to
about 2002,
two or three,
the FDA made an internal decision. There was no law passed. It was just an internal FDA policy change. The Plano contact lenses had always been considered medical devices until this policy change happened about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And what was seen is that the abuse with contact lenses went up, and there was numerous documented cases of eye infections, and some of them very serious. I know at least one person basically lost their eye from the misuse of a non-prescribed contact lens. And so the FDA re-examined the issue back in a couple years later, and then brought their standard back up to where it was historically, that any contact lens, irregardless of it, whether it has any prescription to it or not, is a medical device and as such requires a prescription. Just a little background on what a prescription entails for a contact lens. When a patient comes into any eye doctor's office, of course, we take a throw history and we examine that patient, determine what their refractive status is, which is the prescription for either glasses or contacts.
Excuse me, Dr. Walters.
Sure.
Can I interrupt you just for a second to introduce a group of students from Portland State, Masters of Public Health students that are here observing our policy process today. Are you welcome? I'm sorry, Dr. Walters. Go ahead, please.
And so then we examine the eye, both internally and externally. making sure the patient can, you know, is healthy enough to wear contacts and has no side of contraindications from a medical prescription standpoint on medications that they're taking, whether they have diabetes or not. All those things are looked at, and if it looks like in the view of the doctor in question that they are a candidate for contact lenses, then the next step would usually be to try on a contact lens to see what brand and what size and shape and curvature and all those things are best for that patient. And all those things are, once that's finalized, and usually, like in my practice, I'll see a patient who wants to try contacts for their examination. Time permitting, we might try a contact lens on that eye, on that patient that day. We'll give them training on how to take care of that contact lens, how to make sure they can get it in and out of their eye without any problems. Give them whatever solutions they need, a case, some written materials on education and such, and verbal. And then we'll see that patient back within a week. And at that first checkup, we'll go over if they're having any problems or anything like that, questions they have, make sure, again, that they're doing good at getting them in and out, that they're taking care of them correctly, using the right solutions, all that. Take a look at the eye again, make sure the eye doesn't have any side effects from the contact lens, and take a look at the contact lens on their eye, make sure it looks good. And then at least in my practice, and I think it's pretty common, we'll see that, especially if they're a first-time wearer, we'll see that patient back maybe one more time after a couple more weeks just to make sure that over time there's not a problem with debris on the contact lens. Everybody's tears are different, so some people have a lot of protein in their tears, and their contact will get dirty faster than other people, and that will determine how often we recommend that they change out their contact lenses. And then also over time, there can be some fitting changes that happen as the lens ages a little bit, and we want to make sure we at least are aware of those. Normally everything works fine, and then at that visit we can usually write the prescription out for their final contact lens prescription. And at that point, the patient is entitled to their prescription, written copy of their prescription, and they can take it and have it filled at the supplier of their choice. But the prescription does have to have some certain requirements. Obviously, the patient's name and the brand of contact lens, which includes usually the material in that brand name, and then the curvature, size, and if it is a colored or non-colored lens, and how often they should replace that contact lens. That's usually all included, usually with a contact lens prescription, there's usually a one-year expiration date on that, because every year there could be certainly enough time gone by to have some changes there. So that's what a prescription, going through and having the prescription for a contact lens is all about.
If there are questions as we go along,
I guess I do have a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding, then, from your presentation is that the FDA currently does require that contacts must be dispensed with a prescription. That's the little sticker on the bottom of that label. Why are they not apparently enforcing this policy?
Good question. And Representative Cannon, in our communications with them, and Mr. Plunkett can probably speak to this because he's been in contact with them a couple of times. They just don't have the resources. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the personnel in every state to go after some of these shops that are selling without a prescription. What they've told us is they're trying to limit the distribution and the import of contact lenses from other countries and kind of take away the so-called gray market of the supply of these lenses to some of these shops. And so they're working on a bigger scale, trying to get, again, the distribution stopped or limited. And they just don't have the resources to go after whatever optical shop or hairdresser boutique or any, shop that's selling contacts without a prescription. So the Oregon Board of Optometry, with this proposed language, would be able, if we hear of abuses in this, we'd be able to investigate, and then we'd be able to go as far as, even with the help of our Assistant Attorney General, obtain a court order or civil penalty or whatever remedy would be appropriate. Of course, we'd first and foremost, just sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge, and so the first thing we would do is issue a letter saying, you are breaking the law, and cease and desist, and then we would investigate after the fact to see if that was enough, or if they're continuing to break the law.
If I may add to that, it was interesting that yesterday I went on the internet and the lenses that were passed around in a vial are made by Soft Lens Technology out of Atlanta, or Marietta, I guess, Marietta, Georgia. And so I went on the internet and looked up Soft Lens Technology and found that there was the FDA has a warning letter out about Soft Lens Technology. And back to your question, this is mostly where the FDA focuses its attention. And what they're trying to do is to make sure that this company is providing lenses that are safe to consumers. And that's what they were, the warning letter they were after. And this is a current warning letter, too, which means that these contacts that we purchase probably are, were not only sold in violation, they may be actually not good lenses. But this is where they're focusing their efforts. And I suppose if we had a very large retail chain, maybe they would be interested in that. But for the mom-and-pop stores and the small shops, they just don't have the manpower to look after those. And basically, it's, and you've heard this before, it's state's enforcement.
Senator Gelser?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. As I read through this list of questions that were passed out, I'm not sure who they came from. But I'm alarmed by the idea of purchasing contact lenses at flea markets. I just don't really think of a flea market as the place that I would go to buy a medical device that I'm going to put into my body. What kinds of protections are there for consumers there to know that, for example, the products they're buying aren't used products, reused contact lenses?
Well, most of the contact lenses, like the lenses that were passed around, come in a sealed vial or a bubble pack, they call them. And so usually if that's been tampered with, it's usually evident, although I guess a devious person could maybe, you know, get around that. But that's a good question. But usually, that doesn't seem to be a problem as far as any kind of a used, you know, but the problem that you bring up is that they are obtaining a contact lens without, if that person's never worn contacts before, mm-hmm. they don't know how to put the contact lens in properly, take it out properly, care for it properly, and that's where people do get into trouble. It's a public health issue. I mean, I see on a weekly basis people who, even with a valid prescription and proper training, they still abuse their contacts sometimes. But if they have no knowledge at all of how to take care of them, or they're buying, say they and a friend are buying a group of them together and they're going to swap them around, that gets to be very dangerous.
Great. Follow up?
Please, just keep going.
Oh, great. You know, this seems like common sense to me.
These questions, incidentally, were distilled out of the transcript of the last hearing okay. of things that weren't answered.
Great. Thank you. It seems like common sense to me that you would need to have a valid prescription when you're getting a medical device. And so I think that the question that I'm wondering is, why does this bill not go further? And are there states that ban the sale of contact lenses over the counter at flea markets rather than in locations where you could ensure sanitation and product quality and appropriately trained salespeople?
Well, the recent federal law that we referred to does specify that any person or business selling contact lenses has to keep record of the person they sold to and the copy of the prescription that they used to fill that prescription. And it does spell that out fairly well. Lost my train of thought. Can you repeat the other part of your question?
It was, are there states that ban the sale at flea markets, and why does this bill only speak to the prescription rather than simply banning sale from non-medical providers?
The main reason is that the sale of contact lenses is more governed by the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, and there's laws, of course, with restraint of trade and some of that. So that opens up a very large issue, I think you'd have, you know, valid contact lens selling businesses up in arms, I guess, if you were trying to regulate every person selling contacts. And so what we're trying to do is take it at least a step at a time and make sure that the Oregon Board of Optometry can look into cases like this where there people are selling contacts without a prescription. Certainly down the road, you know, if it would almost have to come on, I think, on a federal basis. Yeah.
Thank you.
If I can follow up on that, I think what this bill does is put all contact lens on the same footing,
mm-hmm.
whether they're contact lens with refractive powers, whether they're cosmetics, planos, they're all on the same footing, and that's all we're trying to get at in this bill. You kind of get at the sale of these by requiring the prescription and that a doctor has examined the patient and this is the prescription for this particular person, and that's the way you kind of get at it, other than trying to restrict who's actually selling. For regular contact lens, it isn't too big of an issue anymore about the selling of contact lens without a prescription. The one exception there may be the internet, which, you know, has caused problems in a lot of areas. It's a great thing, but it has caused some problems. And that's probably the biggest area that there's a problem with regular contacts, where you'll have an internet company that won't require a prescription, and the consumer will simply buy them over the internet, and they're prohibited from doing that, but there are some of those cases still going on.
Can I ask a few technical questions about the wording itself? Do you have a statutory or administrative rule definition of what a valid prescription is?
Representative Green, yes, we do. We have an administrative rule that addresses that, and the federal law also addresses that. And what we did is after the federal law was passed, we took the federal law and incorporating all those requirements in our administrative rule. And so, yes.
Do you have those with you?
Sure.
Could you read some of that for us?
And I have some copies.
Oh, good. So the notion of what a valid prescription is covered. What does receiving mean? Obtaining mean? I mean, I don't mean, what does the word obtaining mean? I mean, do you also have rules, when we get to this, about somebody hands me a prescription in a flea market, I give them the lens, I have now obtained a prescription. Is there some requirements of what I have to be doing with that prescription? That's administrative law as well. I mean, administrative rules.
I think the obtaining here is in reference to the patient, the person selling the contact lens is obtaining the valid prescription from the patient involved or the consumer involved in this case. Under the federal law, those sellers have to verify that prescription is valid by calling or faxing the prescriber of that prescription. And the federal law goes through that in some detail about how they can do that and what modes of communication they can use to do that.
You need to have an administrative rule that would go with that if you're going to enforce it at the state level, I assume.
We're
going to be enforcing the state law.
Right.
Correct. Yes. And
with your rights.
Yes. And that's the reason we took the federal requirements and put them in our rule.
In the state. So it does say on here what they have to do with that prescription as well. I mean, I just had this image of these words as some general practitioner writes a prescription for Mr. Plunkett and says, give him snake-colored contact lenses and signs it. Now I take it in, you say, oh, good, I've obtained a prescription, throw it in the wastebasket and sell you the lens. I mean, that's sort of my image of what would happen under this wording, which assume can't happen. Did you follow on that about how you would enforce it and what this language would actually mean?
If businesses are following the letter of the law, they would be they would keep good track of who that person.
The state law.
The state and federal law. Yeah.
You're going to be enforcing the state law, right?
Correct. Yeah. But we've incorporated the federal law
into state regs.
State administrative rules. Yes.
Great. I feel a little better today than I did. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr.
Speak
Chair.
Speak up, you know. Be easy.
Thank you. Pondering snake
warning.
Eyes. Thank you. My understanding is, now I've lost my train of thought. I mean, my understanding from our previous conversation is, and this is a broad statement, and you won't know the answer to this, but I'm getting the impression that most medical devices aren't well regulated in terms of someone doesn't necessarily have to get a permit to sell a medical device. Is that true or not true? In the case of contact lenses, do you have to be approved to sell? Are you registered with the state as a contact lens distributor? I'm just wondering. This is just a bigger discussion, but my impression was there's no tracking of who actually sells contact lenses, these kind or other kinds. Is that true?
Well, there is a tracking, and there are record-keeping requirements. I think what probably I was saying earlier is there's not a requirement, there's not a licensing requirement for, say, dispensing, for like a dispensing optician, or so you have optical shops that employ people, and as a general rule, this all works pretty well, you know, because people want someone of professional representing them. There are abuses, but
and I would tend to agree. I think it works fine. I think the challenge is if there is no licensing fee, you have no revenue generating source. Therefore, to develop some kind of enforcement mechanism, it's challenging to go out and raise the money to hire someone to go out and check this. So, I mean, what you're trying to do is do the best you can to protect people when they're purchasing. From what I can tell, the best thing this does is if somebody does go into a flea market and buy these, for example, and is not asked for a prescription, is sold these, and then they have a very adverse effect, it will help them sue this person, I would assume, because they'll be out of compliance with state and federal law. But other than that, I don't know what you can add teeth-wise to it, because you don't have the resources to do it.
Yeah, we will. Obviously, the board will try to do some education. I mean, that's our first effort anytime, is to try to educate people. And I can already see, like, for example, beauty salons and beauty supply. Well, there is a board that regulates that. We can go to them, and we have done this in the past, but we will do it again. And try to get the word out in publications that this is illegal, and so there will be an educational effort. But the bottom line is the board will, if a company continues to do it, would have a legal means to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we don't want to get them on the record saying they're not going to enforce the law that's passed. We certainly hope that they can. I may have a conflict of interest. This morning I opened up, I sort of pulled the wrapping off my very last pair of contact lenses, and I realize it's been well over a year since I last received a prescription. I very much like not to go back to my eye doctor for a new prescription, but it sounds like I need to do that in order to
tattoo parlor.
So I may be able to support the bill anyway.
Please.
Thank you. With all that commentary aside that I just did, I think this is a fine bill, because I don't know what else you can do, and I think you're doing the best you can under federal law to do this. And, you know, really, consumer beware, use your head. And, you know, if you're going to put snake eyes in your eyes, think about it first.
We would certainly hope that people wouldn't go to flea markets. Yeah. You know, we would really.
And then just as an addition to Representative Kotek's question about the how do you know who's selling contacts? The manufacturers are also responsible to, because it is a prescription device. So who they sell their product to is they keep record of that. And of course, what they can't stop and what the FDA is trying to stop is some of the reselling. They might sell a bulk of product to this company and then that company diverts it somewhere else. So, but they are, there are records by per manufacturer of what account, what business is obtaining how many lenses and such, and so that is one way of trying to help know who sold the lenses to who.
Thank you.
I do find this interestingly perplexing. I mean, I'm familiar with the pharmacy field where if you have a bottle and it says may not be sold without a prescription, you don't find that in flea markets. Well, you don't find it in American flea markets. You find it in other countries' flea markets. And I was just wondering, well, how does that happen? I mean, how come? Well, the first thing is they don't get into the wholesale trade. I mean, the wholesale only sells it to licensed pharmacies. I mean, it's just not sold. I don't know whether that's a matter of federal law enforcement or just custom. I mean, you would not sell a bottle of antibiotics to a tattoo parlor. You would only sell it. So how come this is happening in the contact lens when it is clearly the same situation? The federal law prohibits dispensing without a prescription. How come anybody sells it to beauty shops? It just seems weird to me. And you don't want beauty shops selling it even if somebody comes in with a prescription. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Probably there's not a...
I guess there's a question there somewhere. It's just I'm perplexed by how we got into this situation.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what the cosmetic application of an antibiotic would be.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what the application is. It says on it, may not be sold without a prescription, and therefore the wholesaler will only sell it to a pharmacy. The pharmacist could screw up and sell it to somebody who shows in, but, I mean, you are not going to find legitimate wholesalers selling bottles of antibiotics to tattoo parlors or to a beauty shop. So how does it happen that they're getting into this weird channel, even though the product itself says may only be sold on a prescription? I mean, I assume that's true in the wholesale channel as well, in essence.
I think, Representative Greenlick, that a couple things happen. I think due to numerous factors, especially those contacts without a prescription, without a power, became more of a, I guess, again, due to lots of different factors, maybe the press included, but they became more of a commodity rather than a prescription medical device in the eyes of some of the public. And so that maybe was fed into, and then, of course, people had problems with their eyes after, you know, and so now we're having to kind of backtrack a little bit.
You have the current power, because there's a wholesaler in town who's selling contact lenses that may be sold on prescription only to beauty shops. You have the power to enforce that channel of communication, I mean, that channel of sale. Is that a legal sale into a beauty shop, where it would not be with a bottle of antibiotics into a beauty shop?
Well, if the contact lenses in question were obtained from the manufacturer via an account number with that, you know, account with that manufacturer, and if they, again, used a prescription, a patient used a prescription to obtain those lenses, then that would still be a legal sale if those things were met.
No, that wasn't my question. I assume there are wholesalers in town as well as retailers.
Okay.
And the wholesaler legitimately buys a batch of 12 gross of snake-designed contact lenses. I was fascinated by that. And now they sell, if that was true of a pharmacy wholesaler, where they would be licensed in a certain way, those bottles of antibiotics could only go to a pharmacy. And if they sold them to a beauty shop, somebody would come in and charge them with a crime. And now you have a wholesaler in the state who's selling 12 dozen contact lenses that say on them may only be sold on a prescription to a beauty shop, let's say, a legitimate business. You have the power to stop that sale.
Yes.
Not the sale out of the beauty shop to an individual for whom they don't get a prescription. I mean, it's that chain, it's that supply chain that seems odd to me.
And that's where the FDA is really trying to...
That's what they're trying to do.
I don't want to interrupt your train of questioning.
No,
this actually does occur to me, and it's a serious question. Would I, if this bill passes, need a separate prescription for the snake eye lenses, even though I already have a prescription, let's assume I do, a valid prescription for my powered contact lenses?
The answer to that is yes, because every contact lens can fit differently. So the snake eye contact lenses, unless they're made by the same manufacturer for sake of comparison, say you wear an AccuView contact lens, a very common contact lens, and AccuView and the base curve and the size of lens that you wear was available in a color or any kind of design. Well, that would be acceptable to get filled because it's the same brand of lens, same size, same curvature. However, if you wear that same AccuView lens and then you want to get brand X snake eyes, really, you need to be fit with those first to make sure they fit your eye properly, get a prescription, and then go obtain them.
But when you went to the doctor for your exam, you could get the prescription for both at the same time.
You could, right.
If I had the foresight to ask for snake eye lenses in addition to my powered lenses.
I will suggest that to Liz.
Okay. You just wanted those baby blues in hand.
It's not unheard of for a patient to call my office or any eye doctor in the state or in the nation, really, and say, hey, I saw some lens advertised or my friend wears this lens. Can I try it? Well, the answer would be, sure, but we need to see it on your eye. And so we would go through at least a brief refitting type visit if they're a very successful contact lens wear. You know, all we need to do is really take a look at that other lens on the eye, make sure it fits also, and then we pretty much have that.
I would submit this is a good bill, Mr. Chair. Can we? I don't know if we can work it today.
No, we can't. We don't have a quorum. But there really were a lot of unanswered questions. This has been very helpful. Is there going to be a fiscal with this bill?
No, there's no.
You're going to be able to enforce it without any extra money?
Yes.
That's on the record, right?
That's on the record.
Well, unless you have anything else you want to add, I think this has been extremely useful. Maybe even a trip up from Grants Pass.
My pleasure.
Thank you for making the trip.
And
thanks for the samples. That was helpful.
Are they leaving those with them?
Not without a prescription, they're not. The sale includes giving them away, right?
The person carrying the bill passes may want to use those on the floor.
That's true as a visual aid.
Pop-ups could lead to some interesting.
Okay, well, we'll borrow them from you and then get them back to you, Mr. Plunkett. I'm going to close the work session, and we will take the bill up next Friday along with the other two bills on the agenda, assuming flu hasn't taken enough or other meetings taken enough of our quorum away. And again, I want to thank you both very much for this, and I don't think we'll have any problem passing it out next week.
Thank you.
Unless there's any other business coming before the committee, I'll adjourn the health care committee of the House of Representatives, and we'll be back at our regularly scheduled time next week with perhaps some more business as well.